This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The housing market in La Crosse County continues to see high demand, pushing median home prices past the state average. But the number of home sales in the county were down by 2% last year, partly because there aren't enough houses available. Joining us today to talk about the state of the local housing market are Steve Lillestrand, president-elect of the La Crosse Area Realtors Association, David Clark, professor of economics from Marquette University, Paul Wesley, president of the La Crosse Area Builders Association, and Tina Bailey, executive officer of the Builders Association. So the current median home price is at $175,000 at the last numbers I checked. And, you know, Steve, I wonder if you could talk about, you know, what this says about kind of the health of the local market. You know, as I mentioned, it's above the statewide average at this point.
It is. And it's a statewide problem with regards to a lack of inventory. If we had more homes to sell, we could sell more homes. But, you know, right now our inventories are at just over 2%. And we'd like to see a six-month average. But really over the course of the last couple of years, realtors have kind of adapted to what that market's doing and kind of figured it out. When we started out with the shortage in inventory, we were having some problems with appraisals as well. The appraisers didn't have good comps to work with, and that's kind of caught up as well. So really, interest rates remain historically low. The market's healthy. Average sale prices have continued to go up. We just need more homes to sell.
Can you tell a little bit more about what you mean by a problem with appraisals and not having good appraisals to compare to?
Well, if they don't have good comparable sales to use in order to do their appraisals, what we were seeing is multiple bids on the same home and homes selling for actually more than the asking price. And when that happens and the appraisers don't have good comparables to choose from, those appraisals come back lower than what the purchase price is, and that causes a problem with the financing.
Is this a problem you've heard about in other areas of the state, I wonder, Steve?
It is. And again, over the course of the last year, those comparables have caught up with the market. So we're seeing less and less of that problem existing today.
David, I wonder if you can speak from a statewide perspective. What are we seeing as far as pricing trends across the state?
Well, we've actually seen a fairly consistent pattern. If you look at just the statewide median price, a fairly consistent pattern of median prices rising at 2 to 3 times the rate of inflation. Now, you got to keep in mind that inflation's been relatively low over the last few years. But with that said, the median price, at least for if you look at the year end, we were up 5.5% this year compared to last year, and you tend to have more price pressures in markets that tend to be a bit tighter. That is, those that have lower inventory. What's interesting is La Crosse. If you look at two counties in the state that over the last year have been flip flopping as to the lowest level of inventories of any county, it's La Crosse and Dane County. Both of them tend to have had very low inventory levels. That's really been driving prices in those particular counties. But the low inventory levels in the state, combined with strong demand, is what has been really driving prices up in the at the state level. So statewide, we've got. Inventory levels that are in the 3.8 month range. A balanced market is considered to be about 6 months of inventory. Below 6 months, you move into a seller's market environment, and above 6 months you move into a buyer's market environment. We're at 3.8 months statewide. We're in a strong seller's market, and that's down from 4.9 months when you look at the end of 2016. It was tight then. It's even tighter now. So the statewide picture is one of tight inventories that are driving up prices. Certainly, these small submarkets that have very tight inventories are going to experience pretty significant price pressure.
David, you mentioned that La Crosse County and Dane County are kind of competing, if you will, for the tightest markets at this point. I mean, from an economic perspective, what does that say about our county and Dane County?
Well, Dane County is usually pretty easy to figure out. I mean, you have relatively stable demand conditions, even when the statewide economy perhaps is a little bit weaker. It's always fairly solid in Madison, and that's because you have state government there, and then you have the state university. The La Crosse situation is a little bit less. It's not quite as intuitive as to why they have such tight inventories. You know, they certainly do have a state university there as well, but it's on a much smaller scale. Unemployment rates do tend to be are relatively low in the La Crosse area, but that's not inconsistent with what we've seen throughout the state. For whatever reason, those inventories have been tight and remain tight for quite a bit of time.
Steve, I wonder if you have thoughts on kind of why La Crosse is in this unique position.
Well, it's a good question. We've got plenty of buyers in the market. I think that we're seeing more and more millennials jump into the real estate market. And we've also got the baby boomers, which are starting to work toward downsizing and kind of simplifying their lives. So slowly but surely, we're seeing those inventories, but not fast enough to keep up with the buyer demand.
Tina, we've heard several times that the, current supply is at, 2.3 months in La Crosse County. For people who don't understand what that means, I wonder if you could kind of explain that.
I probably am not the best person to explain this. I'm wondering if Paul, as a builder, probably has a little more knowledge on this topic.
Yeah, Paul, I mean, is this something that you guys look at when you're considering new construction?
Well, the supply and demand is the key to our businesses, being home builders. And with how many people that want to build now versus being able to buy because of the shortage of homes for them to buy, we're getting a lot more newer clients that want starter-up homes and to move forward and into a new house that way. Mm-hmm. If that's the question you're asking.
Yeah, Steve, I wonder if you could kind of break down what this 2.3 months, what that means.
Well, in a typical market, we're looking at 6 months of inventory, meaning we've got a pretty equal buyer and seller demand. With 2.3 months, it means we've got plenty of buyer demand and we've got lack of inventory.
But why in months, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at. I don't know. David, maybe you have a good answer of, why do we measure it this? Yeah, why do we measure this in months?
Yeah, I work with the realtors on a monthly basis to come up with these figures. The way the months of inventory are computed mechanically is you look at the number of homes that are available for sale at the end of the month, and then You divide that through by the average monthly sales over the most recent 12-month period. So it's kind of a comparison of both supply and demand. Okay, so in the numerator of this computation is the number of homes available for sale, and we're talking about existing homes, and we're talking about those homes that are in the multiple listing services database. In the denominator is kind of your average demand. Now, you wouldn't want to just look at, you know, what was demand in December, because that, you know, that figure is actually quite seasonal. Anyone who's lived in Wisconsin for a while realizes that January and February are not real popular times to buy homes. They're also not real popular times to list homes. So both of those numbers, both the numerator and the denominator, have a pretty strong seasonal component. But what we do, what we do is we say, okay, how many homes are available for sale, and then how long, what's the typical sales been on a monthly basis, an average monthly basis, looking at the most recent 12-month period, and that gives you an idea of how supply kind of compares to demand. So it's an interesting figure. It's one that allows us to compare to national levels as well, because the National Association of Realtors will publish this at the national level, and it's an intuitive figure. It's one that you recognize. If you don't have a whole lot of months of inventory, it's a pretty tight market. If you have a lot of months of inventory, it's a pretty loose market. Buyers are in the driver's seat when you have lots of months of inventory, and sellers are in the driver's seat when you have very few months of inventory. So one of the things that's kind of an interesting phenomena in all housing markets, but one that we've been tracking at the statewide level, is the distinction between the inventory levels in metropolitan counties. So these are counties that the U.S. Bureau of the Census classifies as being metropolitan. And those that are in non-metropolitan counties. And so metropolitan counties are counties that are components of a metropolitan area. We have 26 of those in the state. La Crosse is a metropolitan county, for example. And if you look at inventory levels, they are much tighter in the metropolitan counties than they are in the rural counties. So just looking at December, statewide we had, on average, overall we had 3.8 months of inventory. So definitely a seller's market on average statewide. But if you look at the rural counties, it's actually quite balanced. We have about 6.2 months of inventory in the rural counties. But if you go to the urban counties, those 26 metropolitan counties, they're down to 2.8 months. So things are just extremely tight in those urban counties, and that's not surprising. That's a phenomena that we would expect to see nationwide as well. Those real robust, quick moving markets don't tend to be the ones in the rural areas. They tend to be the ones in urban areas. So things are really tight in our urban counties in general, and you know, La Crosse just happens to be one of the tightest of the urban counties.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about supply and demand for houses in La Crosse County and the surrounding region. We're here with economist David Clark from Marquette University, Steve Lillestrand from the La Crosse Area Realtors Association, Paul Wesley and Tina Bailey from the La Crosse Area Builders Association. So, you know, David was bringing up this idea of kind of rural versus urban counties and what trends we're seeing there. You know, Paul, I wonder if you guys do construction in some of the more rural counties in this area and maybe what you're hearing as far as construction of new homes in those areas.
Our biggest problem we're having now is not getting enough developments to be able to build the new homes. We're not getting enough lots available for the people in those regions that want to build. Holman is, right now, I think it's number one in growth in the whole state of Wisconsin. And our developments now, we're going to be opening up, should have about 500 lots for people to purchase and build new homes just in Holman alone. So I don't see it around the other areas. West Salem has a little bit going on. La Crosse is so landlocked, and Onalaska is getting landlocked. Everything's going north towards that Trumbull County area.
Yeah, Tina, can you talk about, you know, as the market has tightened for existing homes in the La Crosse area, what that has meant for, you know, builders and new construction, what trends we're seeing?
You know, as far as the building industry itself, I have to honestly say the biggest thing that I hear in my office is the fact that the labor is short. You know, it's like, yes, land is a big problem as far as actually putting the homes on land, but it's also having somebody to build those houses. When it crashed, a lot of the builders, they had to step away because there wasn't the money and people weren't building. So they had to step away from building.
You're talking about during the 2007 recession.
Yes, exactly. And so now we're starting to see some people come back into the industry and build. But a lot of the people that were able to hold on through the recession, they're getting to retirement age. And so it's bringing, okay, not these guys quite yet, but it's getting some of those younger generation interested in the building careers as well. And it's not just building, but it's, you know, the people that are installing garage doors, and it's the people installing windows. I mean, it's every part of the building trades that we're trying to get those involved and just interested. And then, you know, it definitely helps along the way as far as having more homes available.
Yeah, Paul, can you talk about how, you know, your business, your industry depends on, you know, other economic factors in the region, you know, labor, availability of land, you know, what other factors can really, you know, influence how much new construction goes into this area?
Well, you got to look at big industry. And if we can start getting more big industry in the La Crosse area, that brings the people, it brings the employees, gets people to move in this area, which then, of course, helps our housing market for new construction grow and grow rapidly. Big industry would be, you know, like big franchises coming in, just to employ people and get them to move in the area and be interested.
Steve, from your perspective, you know, what has been the relationship between existing housing stock and new construction? You know, what trends are we seeing for both types of housing, and how has that been influencing the you know, housing market in general?
Well, I think we've seen a resurgence in new construction, especially spec homes, which literally dried up, and we didn't see those for a few years when the recession hit. So it's really nice to see those options come back and available for home buyers, whether it be move-up buyers or first-time buyers. Some of it has to do a little bit with affordability, and a lot of the millennials that are first-time buyers tend to get a little outpriced with the new construction. And, you know, really that boils down to the building materials. Has a lot to do with it, and the cost of land. All of those things combined have gone up. So, you know, really, in the perfect world, we'd see more move-up buyers, which would create more existing home inventory, which would create more inventory for those first-time buyers.
Are we seeing enough of those move-up buyers, as you described them?
In my opinion, no.
What might be preventing more people from looking to move into a larger home or a newer home, kind of moving up as you're, you know, in this sense?
Well, you know, I think we saw a lot of people, when interest rates were really, really low, a lot of people refinanced, maybe put additions on or did some remodeling to their existing homes. And I think they're in a place now where they're almost afraid from an affordability standpoint to build new because they're comfortable where they are. And it really, it boils down to that interest rate. You know, when you look at the interest rates current, they're historically, they're really low. For some of us that remember way back in the 80s when they were at 16, 17%, obviously the millennials don't remember that, but people were still buying and selling homes back then. So really, we're very fortunate in the big scheme of things to have the interest rates where they are, and things really are still affordable. So again, I think that's probably what contributes most to the lack of existing homes of it being available.
David, I wonder if this is a trend you're hearing about across the state of needing to see more movement between, you know, people moving up to a newer home or a larger home and making those kind of starter homes, more affordable homes available for first-time buyers.
Well, certainly at the state level and actually at the national level, we've seen the number of existing homes on the market not rise as much as would be typical at kind of this stage of a recovery. I mean, technically the economy emerged from the recession in the middle of 2009, and so we are. Going on 9 years coming out of this recession, but since the recession itself was so driven by the housing market and the decline in housing prices, it's not surprising that the supply of housing really hasn't responded the way we would have expected, and I think that you know, some of the earlier comments about kind of the renovation, remodeling taking place as opposed to people making changes to either upgrade to a new home or upgrade to a larger home in the existing market is something that really is very different now than it had been in the past. In past generations. The Gen Xers, the baby boomers, they reached a certain stage of life and they made these adjustments. But that was in an environment when housing prices were kind of consistently moving upward, and you could confidently buy a home knowing that its value would kind of continue to rise. When we hit this recession, housing prices declined. Certainly, the amount of foreclosure activity increased, and that put downward pressure on prices. And so we got to this situation where an awful lot of people who normally would have upgraded would have added to the existing home stock by selling their home, putting their home on the market, selling it, and maybe building a home. They reached that stage in life where it was optimal to do that. We're in a situation where they couldn't sell their home, and you know, potential buyers, even if they had the means to buy a home, even if their credit was good, logically sat on the sidelines. I mean, why would you buy a home if the values were declining? And so that had this ripple effect. It had a ripple effect on people who were trading up. They may have wanted to trade up but couldn't, and so they maybe made modifications to their homes, did the addition, so on and so forth. And it certainly had an effect on the new home market. Most people who are buying new homes are upgrading from an existing home, and so you end up with a situation where that first domino doesn't fall, and so the new construction market really declines rather significantly. So if you look at the broad scheme of this, though, we probably lost about a half generation of homes on the existing home market as existing home owners decided to sit on the sidelines and were unwilling to take a big hit on the value of their homes. And statewide, in Wisconsin, once you control for the quality of the home, we lost about 17% of our value from peak to trough, and we've recovered that. But in that decline, you had an awful lot of people who decided, you know, I'm just going to stay in this home. We're going to age in place, and baby boomers really have not entered that, you know. Kind of vacated their existing homes at the pace that you would have expected to have seen based on earlier generations at this phase in life. At some point, though, age does catch up with you, and you know, the oldest baby boomers have just turned 70. Ultimately, there will be, you know, kind of health care driven. Transitions that will take place. Health-driven transitions, and ultimately they will come back into the they will start listing those homes. Millennials are starting to enter the existing home market as well, and you know, they simply hit that stage of life where they normally would have entered in their late 20s, early 30s, and it was a lousy economy, and they had quite a bit of student debt, and so they sat on the sidelines. This will ultimately remedy itself as we get out 5, 6, 7 years, but we're going to have tight inventories for at least the next several years, because those trends towards more supply are long-run trends that happen slowly as a result of these demographic shifts in the population.
That's economist David Clark from Marquette University, here with us today to talk about the availability and demand for homes in the La Crosse area. Also joining us are Steve Lillestrand from the La Crosse Area Realtors Association, Paul Wesley, owner of Heartland Construction, and Tina Bailey from the La Crosse Area Builders Association. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. You know, David brought up a really interesting idea about the baby boomers, and I want to return to that. But, you know, first, before we move on from this idea of not seeing enough buyers kind of moving, you know, moving up and kind of making space for first-time buyers, you know, Paul, I wonder if that has impacted the kinds of homes that are being built. Are we seeing, rather than building more expensive, you know, larger homes, are we seeing more affordable homes, I guess, coming into the market?
The trends that I've seen I've been in business now for over 20-some years, 22 years, and when we first started out, people wanted less inside amenities, but they wanted a very large home. They wanted to say, welcome to my 2,000-4,000 square foot house. The trends have changed since that. After the recession, more people are going to a smaller footprint of a home, but adding a lot nicer touches on interior or exterior with siding and landscaping and things like that.
Tina, you know, implications for these trends that we're seeing, I guess millennials entering the home market a little bit later. You know, I wonder what this means for kind of what housing stock is going to look like in the La Crosse area, you know, maybe where it will be and what amenities will be there as far as, you know, what builders are looking to build.
Well, I feel that the builders that I know from our association, they're really customized builders. As Steve had mentioned earlier, you know, we're seeing a few more spec homes in our area. It's not up to where it used to be by any means. And so when you say a spec home, you know, that's more generalized. But when you're looking at a custom home, you're really looking at what that particular family needs or wants at that time. And so you might see more custom features. Paul and I were talking about granite countertops versus laminate countertops. Big difference. And so, you know, your millennials, when they come in, they they may see some of those upgrades, but they may not be able to afford them at this time. So they might have to look at some of those things of just doing the laminate countertops for a little while just so that they can afford the home that they're looking for. But of course, we do have some of the spec homes, and we do have some of those people that have built that are just okay with those features. So I think we have a variety, a good variety in this area of homes. And I see that even with our parade of homes that we do every year, just the difference in years where, you know, I feel that so many years ago we used to see those big grand homes and they had all the major theater rooms and that type of thing. I haven't seen as many of those features in the homes because people are kind of stepping back and just doing those important touches because they know the cost of building has gone up so much. And so they're really doing what they can afford.
David brought up earlier the impact baby boomers have had on the housing market, the fact that we're seeing more people aging in place and, you know, maybe not selling their homes as quickly as previous generations have. Steve, I wonder if you have seen that trend here in the La Crosse area.
We certainly have, and I tend to see more of the baby boomers that are on the backside of being baby boomers. They've really taken good care of their homes, and they've updated them throughout the years. And the majority of them that are downsizing, at least what I'm seeing, isn't because of medical reasons per se, but it has more to do with simplifying their life and kind of downsizing. And, you know, they're empty nesters. They don't need the big house anymore. But really, they've, for the most part, they've been well-maintained, and they're great entry-level homes for the millennial.
Steve Lillestrand, president-elect of the La Crosse Area Realtors Association, is here with us today to talk about the current and future state of the local housing market. Also joining us are Tina Bailey, executive officer of the La Crosse Area Builders Association, Paul Wesley, owner of Heartland Construction and president of the Builders Association, and David Clark, economist from Marquette University. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on what factors are influencing the supply and demand of homes. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of a Today show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about supply and demand in the local housing market. The median home price in La Crosse County is up from last year and is above the statewide average. The supply of homes is also lower than the statewide average, which could be why home sales fell in the county last year. Joining us to talk about the positives and the negatives of the current housing market in La Crosse and in the state are Steve Lillestrand, president-elect of the La Crosse Area Realtors Association, David Clark, professor of economics from Marquette University, Paul Wesley, president of the La Crosse Area Builders Association and owner of Heartland Construction, and Tina Bailey, executive officer of the La Crosse Area Builders Association. So we've been talking about, you know, how home prices have continued to rise. And Steve, I wonder, how quickly are we going to start seeing that price maybe affect the demand for homes, you know, seeing people being priced out?
As long as the interest rates remain low, I don't think that that's going to be as big of a problem as the shortage of inventory is.
David, is this something that you're paying attention to on a statewide level?
We are. We have something called the Wisconsin Housing Affordability Index that's maintained by the State Realtors Association, the Wisconsin Realtors Association. And what it does is it kind of compares the median income level of of a family, and there's a statewide average for that to the median housing price, and it asks basically a question, and that's the question is, what percentage of the median priced home could the borrower with median family income afford to buy if they had a healthy 20% down payment and they were financing the rest using a 30-year fixed rate mortgage at current rates. And so, the bigger is that percentage, the more affordable is housing. The lower is the percentage, the less affordable is housing. And so, if you look at December, at the end of December of 2016, you could afford to buy about 228% of the median priced home. So it compares quite favorably to the national rate, which is in the 150 to 160 range. In December of 2017, that had dropped to 218 for the state of Wisconsin. So has affordability slipped? It certainly has, but it slipped only modestly. And the point about mortgage rates is an important one. With relatively low mortgage rates, you can still afford to buy quite a bit of home. I think the other point is we are starting to see some growth in median family income, and so you have both of those effects making the affordability problem less of a problem, especially given that prices are going up at a relatively healthy pace. So are we seeing some slippage? We are. We're seeing a little bit of slippage. But the fact that mortgage rates are at near historic lows counters that.
We are expected to see interest rates rise in the coming year, and especially with new leadership, a new Federal Reserve chair. Steve, is that something that you'll be watching as the Federal Reserve raises interest rates?
Absolutely. But, I don't think we're going to see a quick, dramatic spike there. The other thing I think really that we have to keep in mind is that there's a lot of different mortgage options out there that include little or no down payment. So really, the days of a 20% down payment, we just don't see that much of that anymore. You see more of it with move-up buyers when they're selling their existing homes, and they've built up some equity. But really, for a lot of the first-time buyers entering that market, there's a lot of really good mortgage options out there for them.
Tina, from a forward-looking perspective, what do you think the biggest trends will be in the builder's realm, in the builder's industry, moving forward?
And you're talking, more on the homes themselves, or I guess a little more clarification on that question, if you don't mind.
I mean, really kind of open-ended. Do you feel like there are going to be trends in where builders are looking to build, kind of what kinds of homes, that sort of thing? Are there going to be maybe universal trends among construction companies?
I do see that a little bit more on some. Some builders have, they have plans. They have A, B, C, D. These are the plans that we do. We can customize them a little bit, but the basic outline of the home is the same. And so it's easier and it's quicker to go up. And so that is really something nice. But as I also mentioned, we do have those custom builders that do basically whatever you are looking for. So, I talked to our architect and our designers that we have in our association, and they are swamped. They are busy, and they have a waiting list for months for people waiting just to have their home built. And they're building a customized home. They're not building something that everybody else has. So I see a little bit of both.
Paul, in your own company, as you look at this tight housing market in La Crosse County that is not looking like it will, kind of improve, I guess, how does that impact the way that you're thinking about the future of your business?
Well, we'd all love to expand and get larger, but every builder that I know struggles with the same problem that I'm having, and that's labor shortage. If we can get people more involved in the industry, in any part of the labor part of our industry, plumbing, electrical, building, concrete, you name it, we're all still looking for the new generation of employee to step up to the plate, and it's been a great struggle for all of us.
What have been some solutions that you've seen or heard about to this problem?
Well, us at the Builders Association, we have a school program set up, tools for schools. We raise money to help out the local high school areas. They have shop classes trying to get kids involved, and we're helping supply equipment to those classes. Is one step that we're taking head on. I mean, we're fighting as hard as we can to try to get more people involved with this. And then also with the tech school in town, WTC and all that, they have builder programs and things we're also involved with to try to get more students out into the field.
If you don't see more interest in these sorts of jobs, how do you think that's going to impact the housing market?
Well, I'm going to be wore out because it's a lot of work doing it all by myself. Well, it'll be a struggle. It'll be a struggle, and the person that's going to get hurt the worst is the consumer, because there's going to be the demand, and there's not going to be enough people to supply. So sometime coming up in the near future, it has to turn the corner and be able to get us more help.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about supply and demand of houses in La Crosse County and the region. We're here with Paul Wesley from the La Crosse Area Builders Association, Tina Bailey from the association as well, economist David Clark, and La Crosse Area Realtors Association President-elect Steve Lillestrand. Steve, can you talk about how crucial the housing market and finding more housing stock for people, how crucial that will be to La Crosse's economy and kind of the future of the city?
Well, I think it's very crucial, and I think that we'll be able to find some solutions to that. Time will certainly tell. But with tight inventories and really the way that the market's been the last couple of years, it's more important now than ever really to reach out to a realtor to help you with your home search.
Why do you say that?
Well, pricing is obviously a big one, and the realtors have access to comparable sales. They have great knowledge of specific markets, specific subdivisions, that kind of thing. So really, if you can reach out to an experienced realtor, they can find you that home in that area that you're looking for, regardless of how short the inventories may appear to be.
David, from a statewide perspective, you know, what are you feel like will be the biggest factor impacting the housing market in Wisconsin and the how that impacts the state's economy? You know, what can you talk about of, you know, what you're concerned about when it comes to these two, issues?
One of the big factors that potential migrant into a community look at is affordability. And home affordability is a big piece of that overall affordability picture, and so if you're not able to accommodate the demands of certainly the demands put on the housing market by growth in industry, ultimately that's going to drive up home prices, and your affordability will start to diminish a bit. And I think the new construction market is an important piece to that puzzle. as new construction picks up, and it has been picking up statewide for some time. It has not grown at the same robust pace that we've seen at the national level, but it has picked up. I think streamlining the coming up with a way of streamlining the permitting process, and certainly streamlining the ability to reclassify land from one type of designation such as agricultural to land that can be developed is going to be an important part of that puzzle. If you look at the statewide picture, certainly some of the relatively rapid growth we expect to see in the southeastern Wisconsin corridor as a consequence of Foxconn and the expansion of Amazon and Uline, if they do not allow the housing market to grow, some of the inherent advantage that currently exists were more affordable than Illinois, for example. Some of that that dissipates, and so I think streamlining the permitting process and allowing those developers to respond relatively quickly to what will be a pretty strong demand for housing in those areas is going to be important. And I suspect the same is true in places like La Crosse. I mean, La Crosse is, they're already have very tight inventories, and so if you don't adapt, if you don't allow those builders to fill that gap that currently exists, then you'll continue to see rather significant increases in prices, and it's difficult to attract people to an area if they can't ultimately find a home at a reasonable price.
Steve, how much of the city of La Crosse's housing is rentals? Do we have kind of an estimate for how much the current housing stock has been kind of converted to rentals?
Obviously, we're a college town. We've got really three institutions in downtown La Crosse, but so there's a lot of student housing. I don't have any specific numbers on that, but what we have seen in the last probably 8 to 10 years is condominium developments in downtown La Crosse and new apartments that aren't per se student housing. And we're finding a lot of baby boomers wanting to move downtown so that they can walk everywhere, not have to drive, not have to commute in. So we are seeing more and more of those, and they tend to sell and or fill up very quickly.
As far as looking at single family homes being converted into rentals, I wonder if that has also impacted the housing market in La Crosse.
Not as much as one might think. The city had put some restrictions on some of that for a few years. But currently, I don't think we're seeing a lot of that. I think there's plenty of student rentals available. And we're not seeing a lot of conversion. Again, it depends on the neighborhood, the proximity to the university, things of that nature. Obviously, the kids want to be as close as possible. So the further away from campus you get, the less likely that's going to be converted into a student rental.
And very briefly before we go, what do you think is the ideal situation for La Crosse to be in? We've talked about kind of the 6 months as the kind of balanced market, but, is there an ideal situation that you feel like the city or the county, rather, should be, working towards?
You mean like in the perfect world when all the planets align? this is a kind of a market and an industry that we're in, both Paul and myself, that tends to be very cyclical. When the economy struggles, it goes one way. When the economy is strong, it goes the other way. And it's never just a straight plateau. It's a bit of a roller coaster ride. It's a lot more fun going up than it is coming down. But if you go up, you got to come down at some point. So I just enjoy the ride.
We've been talking with Steve Lillestrand, president-elect of the La Crosse Area Realtors Association, David Clark, economist from Marquette University, Paul Wesley, president of the La Crosse Area Builders Association and owner of Heartland Construction, and Tina Bailey, executive officer of the La Crosse Area Builders Association, about the current and future state of the local housing market. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.